This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
The Professor Dion Foster, all the way from Amsterdam. He's at the Vrye Universiteit. He's a theologian and the university research chair out in Amsterdam. We have a bright sunshine day today. What's it like on your side of the world, Dion? Good morning.
Oh, Brad. Yeah. Oh, Brad. I wish it was. Look, it's not today. It's not raining. But yeah, we are moving into autumn. I see the top temperature today will be 14 degrees.
Okay.
It is sunny, but there is a cold northern wind.
Brr.
So I'll bundle up when I cycle to work a little bit later today. But I head to Berlin tonight, and I see that's a bit warmer.
Oh, good. So you're busy. And that's the nice thing about in Europe. You don't have to travel too far, and suddenly, oh, look, I'm in a different country.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'll drive across about 5.5 hours driving across there for a conference.
So now, Dion, I said to Dumini Jani Pelser at 7:30 when we had a Christian perspective on the news, I said, good morning, and I see you like me, we are still here. Now, there's been this, the point of all of these conversations that have been going to and fro, and we've heard a lot about it, you know, was what was said yesterday would have been the day of the rapture. But I think we want to hear from you, but what I want to say about this is it's a little bit confusing for people, because I think there's this now division that's in people's thinking, saying, but now the second coming, okay, but now there's the rapture, and like, I don't know, where's this in the Bible, and is this in Revelation, and what's real, and what do I expect? And then I even had somebody say to me, but what happens if I get if I get raptured, like what's going to happen to my dog? I mean, I've heard all sorts of things. So I'd love for you to just come in with your knowledge of the word and just come and help us, because I think there's actually confusion at a time where I think we should really be quite sure of what's going to happen.
Brad, so absolutely. So we know that, you know, the two persons who probably are best known at the moment for this are Pastor Joshua Mfakela and Dani Boota, two wonderful brothers in the Lord from South Africa, who I think sincerely love Jesus and are wanting to be absolutely faithful in the ways in which they live their lives and look for God and God's work in the world. And, you know, I think for them today, it must be a difficult thing. You know, they have believed wholeheartedly that 23, 24 September, Christ was going to rapture those who are faithful, take them into heaven, into the presence of God. And of course, that didn't happen. And for many of us, you know, I guess we sort of looked at it with a measure of you know, cautious skepticism to say, look, it's unlikely to happen because there have been so many of these prophecies. Now, Brad, let me quickly say something about the rapture. So many Christians think that this concept of rapture is actually one which, you know, is inherently in the Bible, that it dates back to the earliest forms of Christianity, but actually it doesn't. So this concept, the concept of the rapture as we have it today, actually only emerged in the 19th century, in the late 1800s, and it came through the work of a guy who developed this notion called dispensationalism. He was a pastor, a theologian, who at the end of the Enlightenment, when everything was about reason and about science, began to read the Bible in a particular way that perhaps misread some aspects of how the Bible is. So just for our listeners to say, the Bible is made up of very different forms of literature. Some of it is poetry. Some of it is history. Some of it is apocalypse. Some of it is wisdom. And, you know, you have to be careful not to mischaracterize the different forms of literature. I mean, if someone was to say to me, Dion, I need to get to the cable station on Table Mountain, what they're wanting is a very particular form of literature from me. They want me to write them directions in the form of a map, not a poem.
Yeah.
If someone's wanting to be inspired by the beauty of Cape Town, they don't want me to tell them, you know, the topography is 178 meters above sea level. They want something more inspiring. And unfortunately, what Darby did was he mischaracterized some sections of scripture. So he treated everything as if it is history. Now, this became really entrenched, one of the most popular Bibles at the turn of the 19th century, early 20th century, was the Scofield Bible. And this particular Bible leaned into what Darby had been doing. And they really began to say this period in which we are living, this dispensation in which we are living, is the end time. And out of this came this notion of the tribulation, that there would be, and this certainly is mentioned in the book of Revelation, that there would be a time of testing, of suffering. And three ideas emerged: pre-tribulationism, so premillenarianism, millenarianism, and postmillenarianism. You don't need to know what they're about. You can ask ChatGPT later. But basically, this concept of the rapture only emerged in the mid-1900s as a form of premillenarianism. So certain Christians who were really disturbed by the First and Second World Wars, by increasing political violence, by poverty, began to say, look, we must be nearing the end. And if we read the Bible in Darby's way, it must mean that we are going to be taken to heaven and these ungodly others are going to stay here and they're going to be tested and suffer. So part of what we need to recognize is that, you know, these brothers and many Christians are believing this to be true, but it's actually a very, very contemporary belief. Mm. Now, what does this mean for us as Christians? Brad, let me say two things. The first one I want to say is that we need to acknowledge that it is one that sisters and brothers are looking for the work of God in the world, and we should all be doing this. But we need to take very seriously Matthew 24:36, that says, about the day and the hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And there is nowhere in Scripture where it says that any prophet or priest or apostle or teacher or faithful Christian will be told that day and hour. Mm. You know, we're told to look for it. We're told to be ready for it. But nowhere does it say that we will receive it. So I think what we are seeing is a kind of longing for certainty, yeah, in uncertain times. Dani Buerta, for example, spoke about what's happening in Israel, in Palestine. He mentions the Charlie Kirk assassination. So you can see that, in a sense, people are feeling really unsettled by what's happening in the world. And they're beginning to lean into this notion that somehow, you know, like Elon Musk and, you know, these guys, we're going to be taken to another place and this will all be left to rot. Now, when I read the scriptures, I can see that what God wants from us is something slightly different. He doesn't want us to look for the sign of Jonah. He doesn't want us to look for the really great miracle that may come. What God wants us to do is to look for the everyday miracles, to look for the faithful single mother who's raising her kids despite hardship and say, what can we do to make that better? For the godly leader who's standing up against corruption and saying, you know, I will honor God before I honor my career or my party. Yeah. For the business person who's saying, I want to make money not so that I get wealthy, but so that I can generously give to the kingdom. Those are the miracles that I think we should be looking for. Now, what it means for me, and maybe for some of our leaders, is that we need to be ready. Mm. I mean, Jesus could return at any day, and we don't know the time of the hour. And when he comes, I want to be ready. Now, if we think about the fruit of the Spirit, what it means to be ready, we can see that those things are very simple, and they're often expressed in our families, in our closest relationships, in our communities, and in our work lives. We don't have to wait for a trumpet to be sounded and people to be taken into heaven to know. We have to live with love. We have to seek justice. We need to work for peace. We need to proclaim the good news of Jesus wherever we can. So, Brad, maybe I could just end with this one thing, sure, to say. You know, I'm praying for our brothers today, Pastor Joshua and Dani, because I think for them and many people who hoped with them, it must be a very difficult day for them to make sense of what hasn't happened. And I'm praying that, you know, for all of us who looked at this, that we will have soft hearts, not make fun, not be derisive, but say, you know, we want to perhaps be a little bit more like them, have greater faith, yeah, but also perhaps say, Lord, together with them, would you make us a little bit more discerning and a little bit more present to the ordinary miracles that are happening all around us every day.
Yeah, that's so powerful. There's I think this combination in us, Dion, we want to go home because that's really what we want deep in our hearts. But also, we also want to, I guess we want to live lives that matter. So we've got this kind of period of appreciating the grace of God, and that there's work to do, and that we get to be part of that, that we get to serve and do what needs to be done and what God has commissioned and called us to do. And then on this other side, this desire to go home. And then when somebody is saying these things that's also confusing, I think it does throw us. I mean, even in my home, there were big conversations being had, and I was looking forward to this time with you to be able to just say, let's not get lost in what we think is going to happen, but maybe we should focus on A, what's going to happen, and know that it could be today, and what am I doing? Am I ready first, and what am I doing to drag as many people as I can with me when Jesus comes?
Absolutely, Brad. Absolutely. And just to say, you know, at the end of the day, none of us knows. None of us knows. You know, if even the sun doesn't know, none of us knows. But there are certain things that we do know. And I think that's where the Lord really, and the Spirit of Christ and God the Father really wants us to spend our time. Let's lean into those things that we know to be true. Let's love more sincerely. Let's live a little bit more courageously and attentively, and let's do what Jesus prays, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, this earth that God has given us and the people around us, they're here for a reason, and we're amongst them for a reason.
Dion, I know you're busy and you've got things to do. I have literally like 30, 40 seconds. I just want to say, so for people wondering, there's not going to be a time where suddenly there's going to be a pile of my clothes and my shoes left behind and I'm going to go and everyone else is going to stand around and say, what's happened? I mean, is that something that is or isn't going to happen? I think that's what people are really wondering.
So, Brad, for those of us who study the Bible, you know, the and study it, you know, in its source languages, understand what was written. So 1 Thessalonians is often the passages that people turn to. For those of us who study the Bible, we feel fairly certain that this idea is based on two category mistakes. The one I spoke about earlier, which is Bebbington's misrecognition of the genres of the Bible. So treating everything as if it is history, everything as if it is prediction, and forgetting that some of it is a letter. You know, 1 Thessalonians, for example, 2 Thessalonians, these are letters written by a pastor to his congregation trying to address things. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't tell us things about today, but we need to be quite cautious and careful how we do them. So that's the one thing, category mistake. I think the second thing is the second mistake that we see in this kind of thinking is, if you look, for example, at all of these notions of the rapture, they always have to do with a false cosmology. So the cosmos in that worldview has heaven above and hell below. Now, we know that that's simply not spatially true. People have, you know, flown to the moon. We've sent probes above. We know heaven is not above us. Spatially, It has to be what Jesus is going to do with us will be something different. And it's more likely to be something that relates to the way in which God, as we read in the book of Revelation, transforms the heavens and the earth. And perhaps, you know, heaven comes a bit closer to earth. And that happens in the ways in which God's Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are manifest, and God's love and also God's judgment operate. So I don't think that there will come a time where we will be taken into heaven and our pets and clothes and cars will be left behind. I don't think that the Bible says that. I think it's a relatively modern idea, and I think it's a mistake.
That's the voice of Professor Dion Foster, theologian and university research chair at the Vrije Universiteit out in Amsterdam. Enjoy your trip, maybe a safe one and a blessed visit to Germany. And we'll catch up again next week. Thanks so much for your time and your expertise, Prof. Appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, my friend. Bless you and have a wonderful day. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.